Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you to your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them, and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now, to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan. But unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among the brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, Return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned, and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, built an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, Behold, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead. And they spake with them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord? And will it be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation, and it will be that he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel? Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, The Lord, God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel, he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt or meat offering, or to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it, for fear of this, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. Ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and with and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be when they should say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad and out of the land of Gilead into the land of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad went. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ad, for it shall be witness between us that the Lord is God. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. The passage is pretty self-explanatory. There are a number of uses, however, that we can draw from it that I think are really, really helpful, really good. The first thing is the commendation of the Transjordanic tribes at the beginning of the chapter, verses 1 through 9. Joshua comes to them and he says, bravo, well done. You have kept all of the word that you said you would keep. You have done everything that Moses commanded you. You have kept the word that you promised when you said that you would come with the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, leave your flocks and your wives and your children on the other side of Jordan, but you would pass over armed with all of your brethren until the land is subdued. The land is now subdued and you're still here. Bravo. Well done. So let's learn, first of all, that when something is commendable, we learn to commend. Right? We learn to be of encouragement one to another. That when something commendable or encouraging has been done, that we recognize it. That we say to someone, thank you. That we say to someone, well done. That we're not afraid to do that with one another. So that's the first lesson. The second is that now they are released. Now they are released to go back to their homes. And so, back they go. And as soon as they get there, they recognize that something is amiss. We desire a solidarity with the children of Israel that are on the other side of Jordan, and yet there is this natural border. You know, it may be that they really didn't consider that at the first. That they said, and if you remember what they said when they passed through that land and God gave them Gilead, the land of Og and Bashan, and the northern portion of Edom, that they said, you know, This is a good land for cattle, and we're cattlemen. This is a place where we could settle, Moses. And that's when Moses said, well, now, hold on a minute. You can't refuse to go into the land. They said, no, we will. But then when it's all done, we'll come back here. And so they had their eyes on it, not perhaps with the greatest of spiritual motives, but perhaps with the motives of, you know, this is where we can raise our families and be safe and raise our flocks and our herds, and the Lord will bless us. We have every expectation of that. And yet what they found when they got there was that there was this border that was set up between them and Israel, the River Jordan. And sometimes the River Jordan flooded and would be a preventative to them from communing with the children of Israel on the other side of Jordan in those set times during the year, perhaps. And so they found themselves with some kind of difficulty. They were looking ahead, perhaps not far enough ahead in their original constitution, but then when they settled in the land, they recognized that not all is perhaps as good as it could be here in this good land. And so they devised a plan to keep a solidarity with the people of God, and this is commendable. So they built an altar. And from the narrative of the passage, I think it is at least implied, if not explicitly stated, I think more it's a very strong implication, that they built an altar that was huge in size, but of the same proportion and general appearance as the altar that was before the Lord in Shiloh. Before the tabernacle of the Lord in Shiloh in those days. Eventually, you know, it made it to Jerusalem under David. So there's this altar that they built, and they built it for one specific purpose, that their children could look at that altar, and then when they traveled to Jerusalem, they would look at the altar that was in Jerusalem or Shiloh, and they would say, okay, we know what this is. There is a communion between us that we do not want to let die because of some river that runs between us. And so we're going to build this altar not for sacrifice, because those only belong in the place where the Lord has chosen to set His name. We'll do it as a remembrance, as a witness between us and you, that you are not separate from us and we are not separate from you, even though there is a river that runs between us. And of course, rivers formed what? Natural boundaries and coastlines in those days. And so it is a commendable purpose that they endeavor to do to build up this altar, because they refuse to commit First Commandment and Second Commandment idolatry. Remember the difference between First and Second Commandment idolatry. First Commandment idolatry is worshiping any other god but the Lord our God. Second Commandment idolatry would be worshiping the Lord our God in a way that He has not commanded. And they refuse both of those. This is not a worship altar. This is a remembrance altar. This is a witness altar, and that's what the word ad means. I know it sounds like I'm halfway between E and A, and that's because I think that's really how we should pronounce that. It's not an aleph on the front. It's an ion, which means you got to drive it back farther in your throat. So it's almost like a G. It's a ad. Yeah, I know English speakers have a hard time with that. So, what do the children of Israel do on the other side of Jordan? Well, there's the Manassites that live around that area, and they're looking over there, and they're saying, what are they building over there? What are they building? And finally, when it's finished, it's an altar. Oh, no. They've been gone from us only a few months, and here they are. They've fled off into idolatry. And so, what's the first thing that they do? Well, they assume the worst. Now, they have a history that would drive them to that. Let's not take that away from them. And they bring that history up, don't they? Remember Baal Peor. Remember Achan. Remember that when one part of the nation sins, it's likely that all of the nation will suffer. Achan died not alone, and the sin of Baal Peor is still with us to this day. We're still suffering from its effects. And so they have a sense of what? Not only the danger, but the filthiness and odiousness of the sins, don't they? And so what do they do? Notice what they don't do, first of all. Their first blush is not to mount up and ride over there and kick some Gileadite hiney. That's not the first thing that they do. Praise God for that. What do? They send Phinehas. You remember Phinehas. He's the guy who's going to have the discerning eye. He's the one who stopped the plague at Baal Peor with the spear. That Phinehas. That faithful Levite. That faithful Aaronite. And so they send Phinehas and they send 10 heads of the tribes. Now, if you'll do the math, you'll realize that works out. And that includes one of the heads of the half-tribe of Manasseh that was on the west side of Jordan. And so Manasseh is rising up against Manasseh here, potentially. But notice that it is all over this being zealous for the Lord and how He is worshipped. But they don't just mount up and ride. Instead, they send an emissary first. They send a deputation, Phinehas and 10 men, the heads of the tribes, and they ask them, well, it's kind of an urgent asking. It may be more than mere asking. They say something like, what in the world are you doing? You're going to bring judgment on us all. Do you remember Peor? Do you remember Achan? And the Gileadites' answer is indeed very encouraging, and it settles the matter peacefully. And they give this answer of witness instead. And so let us learn here that sending the emissary and trying actually to reason first, wow, what great effect that had. What a great outcome it had, rather than simply, you know, as one person said, ready, fire, aim. You know, or boom, stop or I'll shoot. Shoot first and ask questions later. They didn't do that. Rather, they gave them an opportunity to answer the why. Although they could not come up in their own minds why in the world they would do that, they gave them an opportunity to explain themselves. My dear brothers and sisters, there's a lot to be learned there. Right? There's that old adage that you may see on the office wall that says, we don't need an exercise campaign, an exercise encouragement at this office. Everyone gets enough exercise flying off the handle and running down the boss. Right? Especially the flying off the handle part. Notice that they didn't fly off the handle. That they didn't assume the worst to the point that they refused to send the emissary first to speak to them. What a great example that is. And what a peaceable end the Lord gave us. So we find out then that these Transjordanic tribes are not declining at all. They have not deformed into idolatry. Rather, they are endeavoring through a long look into the future and thinking of future generations as to how they might remain solid in their relationship with the Israelites in the worship of God. And how they might avoid an undue separation between them. And that's the last lesson. That while we want the truth, we want to go as far down the road as we can with one another. Not into error and not into idolatry. And we pray that we'll be ready, even against our professed brethren, to go on the warpath if we have to, for the cause of Christ. But we also pray that through discussion that we may be able to thwart such necessities that we could live peaceably under Christ, one with another. Thus ends the reading then of Joshua chapter 22.